Morning. Thank you, Carrie. I have to say, I've listened to a lot of Pink Floyd, and I've listened to Dark Side of the Moon many, many times. That's probably the first time I think I've ever done a Pink Floyd meditation. I love that. Thank you. I have done. Has anyone ever done, it's called Dark Side of the Rainbow? Do you know that if you listen to the Pink Floyd soundtrack and sync it with the Wizard of Oz, the original Wizard of Oz, and if you smoke just the right amount of weed, the amount of things that like line up are just weird. So a little fun for you later on. May the force be with you. Thank you. I was counting on the fact for all of my old Catholics in the house there. There is a Venn diagram where if you're an old Catholic and an old Star Wars fan and somebody says, may the force be with you, it's almost like a knee-jerk reaction to want to respond and pass the peace and also with you. Yes, thank you. Today is May the 4th. I had to educate some people in pre-talk. Apparently not everybody was familiar with this, and this is not a made-up holiday. May the force be with you, May the 4th. That's kind of the name thing that went along there. I got the privilege of seeing Dick Kaminsky make that comprehension in real time as he realized what that meant. It was beautiful. I loved it. Mind blown. I was born in 1977, so I was just a wee little baby and was raised to appreciate Star Wars for as long as I can remember. As a kid, I had all the toys. I had the plastic Millennium Falcon, right, where the thing came off and you could place Han Solo and stuff in there, fly it around. I had the Jabba the Hutt action figure set. And if you remember these toys by Kenner, they're action figures, not dolls or toys, right? You could, with the Jabba the Hutt, you could kind of turn his head side to side, and as he did, his little tail would kind of wiggle there. Remember that? Right? I would play with all those things for years until I did have an unfortunate, or I should might say my parents had an unfortunate brush with this book called Turmoil in the Toy Box. Has anyone heard of this book, by the way? Good. All right, good. You were spared from that. I didn't even want to bring a physical copy of the book, even though I'm sure it's probably still somewhere at my mom's house there. This book led to the burning of all of my Star Wars toys as a young boy. Yeah, and that's sad. I mean, like, first of all, it could have been worth a whole lot by today, right? No, it was pretty weird and messed up. And I learned, though, that if you repress something hard enough, that oftentimes it will come back wearing a cape. And so the repression of pop culture in my youth and childhood only came back stronger, which is what Obi-Wan Kenobi knew when he told Darth Vader, strike me down and I shall return even stronger, right? So my love of Star Wars has gone on for a while. Banning Star Wars didn't cure my obsession. It only just made it grow bigger. And later in life, I found out I couldn't get enough of it. As a young adult in one of my first jobs, I worked at an internet company. And as most of the other employees there, we were all geeks. And this was kind of early era geeks when you kind of didn't wave the geek flag quite as proudly because you were still a little more closeted. But when Episode 1 came out, A Phantom Menace, this was a big, big deal for Star Wars fans because we'd been waiting and only had the original trilogy for years. And so when it came out, myself, several other coworkers went and bought our tickets early. We showed up like half, we took a half a day off of work. They let us do this at the internet company because we were just those kind of people. Went and saw it in the theaters, and I've enjoyed it for years. Somebody made a mention of how many t-shirts I have and different things I wear up here. And I probably have at least a dozen Star Wars t-shirts. This one I kind of like there. This one is one of my favorite characters from there. C-3PO, and you might remember this scene when he says, "This is madness," as he's being disassembled and reassembled there. My favorite office desk, and I'm hoping that one day this will come back. I had a really cool wood, kind of an L-shaped desk, and once I went away on vacation, somebody within my community knew how much I love Star Wars and did a really cool reverse black panel with the Rebel Alliance symbol and then the Empire symbol on the desk. And it made just for a great icebreaker anytime somebody would come into my office, because if they knew what those symbols meant, we had a lot in common. We were going to hit it off great. Probably if I showed most of you, you probably wouldn't recognize it. It's okay. We have time. We have time. You know, this coming week, as a matter of fact, I think it's on Thursday, is my one-year anniversary here at C3. Isn't that wild? It's pretty crazy. Yeah. You've survived me, but you've got some learning to do. I find the lack of Star Wars spirit disturbing, most disturbing. I am quite disturbed. I still have a lot of the fun. I even have this working Darth Vader helmet there, which I've tried to incorporate into some things in the bedroom, and Lisa just hasn't really appreciated it, even though I think it's kind of cool. I mean, it's a great entrance. The Force is something that George Lucas didn't come up with, although he had several different versions of what he was calling it. He really borrowed these ideas from a lot of existing wisdom traditions. Prana and pranayama is an understanding within Indian traditions. Within Chinese traditions, it's called qi. And this is universal life force. The symbol for qi looks like this. This is the ancient Chinese symbol. There's another one today that kind of looks similar, but as you know, if Chinese characters are kind of made up symbolically of pictures. And so this symbol on the bottom here is representative of fire. This symbol here on the top is the symbol for nothing or nothingness. So qi can kind of be understood as the fire that comes from nothing, or the fire underneath nothing and everything. This idea that there is this animated energy underneath everything that we can't see. We can't see it always with our eyes, but we can see the effects of it. We know from the first law of thermodynamics that energy cannot be what? Created or destroyed. It can only be what? Transferred. It can be moved from one state to another. The lights that are shining on me are powered by electricity. That electricity flows through these electrical lines, and it comes from an originating source, a power plant, where we've either burned something or used some kind of a mechanical force to transfer energy from one source to another. And then we use that to shine lights, heat our homes, power our computers. But that's practical, tangible stuff. We as human beings are animated just as much as the light bulbs, except that we sometimes forget this sense of the force that connects us through all things. Because we know that the same energy that was present at the beginning of the Big Bang over 14 billion years ago exploded out in cosmic force and is still the same energy that animates us today. That's wild to think about. I've told you that the whole premise for this series on Sacred Earth is not for me to tell you more things you should be doing for planet Earth. I think that as a community, we're relatively well engaged in all these different ways that we can be involved. And please keep doing it. Our planet needs us to keep doing it. There's enough books and enough people and places to talk about those things. But what I want us to do during this series, and this sounds very touchy-feely, but I want us to just fall back in love with our planet and reconnect with the force that animates this planet and everything else, and to find our connection in that. Master Yoda says, "For my ally is the Force, and a powerful ally it is. Life creates it and makes it grow. Its energy surrounds and binds us. Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter." How many of you recognize the Yoda quote in the title? Okay, so most of you were kind of like thinking that I had fallen off my rocker in titling there this morning, right? Luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. Now, I don't want to get too deep. We're not like reading the scriptures of Star Wars, even though there is a scriptures of Star Wars, and it's fascinating. It's really, really cool. There's also, this is a little aside, there is also one of my favorite collections of Star Wars prose is Star Wars in the style of William Shakespeare. It's a brilliant collection of Star Wars writing. So we're not getting deep into the scriptures of Star Wars here. We're not reading too deep into this, but there is a truth to what Yoda is talking about here, that there is something that animates us and that we are more than just this crude matter. Now, I must admit, some mornings before I have had my coffee, I feel more like crude matter than a luminous being. But when we look in the mirrors and when we connect with one another, we are, in fact, luminous beings animated by an energy that we can't see. And anyone who's been present at a funeral knows that there's something to seeing a shell, a body, reduced to its crude matter without the animating force that gave it life. So we're animated by this energy, and it's the same energy that has existed since the dawn of the universe. Yoda says, "You must feel the force," he tells Luke, "between everything, between the rocks, the trees, everywhere." Yes, it is. We're connected to this planet in so many ways. We're connected to each other in so many ways. We are more than just simply crude matter. We are luminous beings animated through cosmic energy along with every other being on this planet. We are quite literally made of stardust. John Muir says, "When you try to pick out anything by itself," this quote should be in your bulletin, I loved it. "When you try to pick out anything by itself, it is bound fast by 1,000 invisible cords that cannot be broken to everything in the universe." John Muir saw in the sacred lands of our national parks and in the beauty of creation, he saw a connection not as an object and a subject, but interconnectedness. That you cannot pick one element out of creation and separate it from anything else. That as soon as you pick one element out, you'll find that it is connected by 1,000 cords to everything else around. We are beings animated by the same energy that flows from the sun and that was present at the dawn of the universe. Remember last week, Rob Larson, who came here and was giving us a perspective that was very helpful, this indigenous and Native American perspective, and he talked about this web of life. That comes from a quote from Chief Seattle that I also put in the bulletin there. I love Chief Seattle says, "Humankind has not woven the web of life. We are but one thread within it." Remember Rob was saying that we, when we think of this concept of the web of life, oftentimes think of ourselves as the spider on the web. We are almost like the weaver of the web. We're the ones that are managing this planet. And that's such an egotistical, such a futile assumption. We are but a single thread in this web of life. We are but one thread within it. Whatever we do to the web, Chief Seattle says, we do to ourselves. All things are bound together. All things connect. We can imagine the universe as a grand swirling symphony that began almost 14 billion years ago. Within that, a single astonishing event. When we were talking about it in pre-talk, we kind of started big and started with the science of it, but a couple people very quickly landed on this idea of, when I think about the universe and this web that connects us, how it draws us towards mystery and wonder and awe. Because let's face it, as frail and fragile human beings with a lifespan less than a century, how can we contemplate a universe that is billions of years old? I asked you to bring a rock or a crystal or stone with you this morning for the earth altar, the earth table over there. I've loved stones for a while. We started this year, I think our very first talk by Beth was Let's Get Stoned. The very, very first talk of the year. Brilliant title. We're hitting it out of the park in our titles this year. I like contemplating stones and rocks and minerals because this helps me connect to something way older, something that lasts way longer than me. I've even been in the habit lately of carrying around a rock in my pocket. And I've been calling it a pocket rock. This one is my favorite here from the last probably couple of weeks. And it's awfully reassuring when your hands are in your pocket, if you're doing something, to just hold on to that rock. First of all, one of the things I notice as I keep it with me a lot is that if it's been in my pocket for a while and I go in to reach in and grab it, how it retains the heat from my body and I go to grab it and it's warm. It's pretty amazing. And then I hold it and I rub it and I know that no matter how much I rub it, how much I grab it, that I'm not going to affect that rock by even a millimeter. It existed far before I was born and it will be around far after I'm gone. And it reminds me that we are the newcomers on this planet. As Rob said last week, how crazy is it that we, human beings, the latest to show up in this grand parade of evolution, somehow thinks that just because we have figured out how to rub some sticks together, create fire and light and energy, that somehow now we are at the pinnacle of creation instead of a single strand of the web. Not only a single strand, but one that is causing tremendous damage to the other threads because we think that we exist all by ourselves. We are more than this crude matter. Every note, every shimmering sound that will ever be played in that cosmic symphony has already been around since the dawn of time. The energy that animated Annie's music this morning, from the energy of strumming strings on a guitar and those strings vibrating and being captured electronically, going back to our soundboard as our sound engineer adjusts it. And then it comes back through and moves these speaker cones. And as the air gets moved, it pushes out and you hear the words that I'm saying. Even though we can't see any of this that happens. Far more complicated now. I'm communicating this, and there are people sitting not only in the same state, but in other states and other parts of the country that are watching us over the magic of the internet. We have now transcended the need to be in person with people, and we can have our voice spread around the world. And yet with that power, we somehow forget how connected we are to everything. That energy animates us when we turn on a light bulb, when a whale breaches the surface of the ocean, when a star ignites in a distant galaxy and we see it through the magic of the telescopes and the spectrum of light that we see. We're witnessing energy that has been on an epic journey across time. Energy doesn't come from nothing, and it doesn't vanish into nothing. It transforms, it morphs, it dances from form to form like an eternal cosmic acrobat. It's pretty comforting to think that the same energy that animates us is the same energy that gives life to other beings on this planet. And that energy is not a respecter of persons. We share the same air with those who vote very differently than us, who believe very differently than us. But when you remove all of that other stuff and set it aside, we're biological beings that came from this planet. We get to participate in this moment of time, at this place in space. It's astounding. You are not just in the universe. You are the universe. You're a continuation of its first breath. So as we land, I'd like to kind of borrow the same idea of the trilogy, which was, somebody asked this morning, who is the main character in Star Wars? And I have a theory. Who do you think would be the central character of Star Wars? Luke Skywalker. I hear that a lot. I would argue Darth Vader is probably the central character of that story. And I've got to admit, I'm drawn to the dark side myself. All of my Star Wars things that I have tend to be more Vader-esque. Anybody who saw the picture of me with my lightsaber, you know, you recognize that was Darth Vader's lightsaber, the red one, right? I've always been drawn to the dark side of the Force. But Darth Vader, he had this epic arc, this arc of starting out in opposition to the Force, and then we're told that they were seeking a balance to the Force. And the balancing of the Force in the Star Wars franchise comes from this idea within science that our planet and our biological systems naturally seek a homeostasis and naturally strives for balance. And when things are out of balance, we notice it. If our gut biome, which is home to countless organisms that we would consider separate from ourselves, but if they were either to be removed or were in distress, we feel the physical distress of our bodies being out of balance. There's countless different ways that we recognize when we're in balance or not. Our emotional state, our hormones, our energy. We're striving for balance. And ecological systems naturally seek balance as well. So when we wrap up today, we're not going to have everybody come up and go forward, because I've been told some of the former Catholics have been traumatized with that. We'll allow you to do it in your own time, and I won't stand there as the priest absolving you as you come up. But when you come up with your rock afterwards, you can, in your own moment in time and space, place it in the bowl. As you know, each week we're bringing different elements and different things to this table, not in some kind of a mystical woo-woo ceremony. We're doing it to connect deeper to this planet, this home, to our fellow beings, to recognize that when we come up with these rocks or these crystals, these elements in our hand, that we actually share the same mineral makeups, these same minerals and elements that were birthed in the heart of stars are present in the calcium of our bones, in our teeth, in our bodies. Much to learn, have we? Much to learn. So, as we leave today, may we carry this awareness with us that we are luminous beings, created and connected through this animated force to all creation. And in that awareness and in that humility, that wonder, that fierce love for the earth, may we cherish our connection with this planet and with each other. And may the force be with you always. Thank you.